God has been forsaken by most people today. God has been forsaken. And I was reading last night, Jesus said, as in the days of Noah were, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. But here's the sad part, they knew not till the Lord came and took them all away. I was thinking about Noah, what a wonderful experience he must have had. 120 years to build an ark, and Noah was so exact with it. Got to be so many cubits wide, so many cubits long, three stories high, one window in it that's got to be right perfected. And he meticulously, God designed it. See, Jesus was a master carpenter. How many know? So if he's a master carpenter, he knew how to build a ship. Because he knows he's a master. How many know he's the master of everything? He knows how to create the world. He knows how to build a ship. He knows how to lift you up this morning. If you're down, you could float on it. I was thinking the other day, what a wonderful thing. The waters grounded the others and they drowned it out. But Noah floated out. Isn't that wonderful? Well, if the world drowns out, we can still float out. Because as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They'll be eating, drinking, and marrying, and giving in marriage. They didn't say what kind of marriage. Man, it's all kinds of marriage going on now. All kinds of stuff going on now. It's time for the church to wake up. And it says over in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, that when they wake out of a deep sleep, the church is asleep. But that's scriptural too. In the 25th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. All of them. There was 5 wise, there's 5 foolish virgins. They took no oil with them. The foolish didn't. The others took all. But they all slept. But when they arose, the ones that had the oil made it in, and the others was left behind someplace or other to do I don't know what. What would happen if the Lord was to come now? If he was to come right now, what would happen to you? What would happen to me? That's a very serious thing when you begin to think about it. In the Bible, it teaches much about waters. She sang a song, he walks the troubled waters of our soul. He walks the troubled water. There's troubled water, but there's rivers of living water. There's fountain of living water. There's different things in the Bible about waters. Waters was very important back in the Old Testament. They've had fights over the waters. Amen? We hadn't had to fight too much on the water over our way this year because it's everywhere. Well, I had a lot of water this year. But that's not what I'm going to preach about this morning. I want to talk about God being forsaken and what the two things is. Now, 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, if my people that are called by my name, we're all Christians, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin. You know, I've been in the ministry this year in June, 57 years. I remember when we had revivals, the houses wouldn't hold them. You know, that was back then. But you know, people's going to have to wake up that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Doesn't make any difference what we think. It's what he does. And it doesn't make anything what's on us. You know, we come to church and we feel a little bit of the Spirit on us. And we say, I've felt it. I've got the Holy Ghost. No, it's not what gets on us. It's what's in us. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So we need to abide in him and his words abide in us. Then we can ask and we can receive. And so I want to turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 2, and we're going to talk about waters. In this, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 12. Read with me on this, and you'll be astonished what it's talking about here. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 12. Be astonished. He's talking to the church now. The people of God that day. Be astonished, ye heavens, at this. And be horribly afraid. Horribly afraid. Listen to that. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. Now he's telling me, pray. You know, there needs to be a godly fear come in the churches anymore. And a godly fear come in every home anymore. And there certainly needs to be a godly fear come into our nation. What a mess we've got. I'm also a veteran of World War II, and I hate to see our nation go down, 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 that we went to a great war and spared our nation. And we had revival when we got back from overseas, a revival began to start up in our nation. And I got in that revival finally and got saved. And that, in 57 years now, I've been in the ministry. But I say we had revival. When you had revival, people from every church came, they joined up together and had fellowship one with another. 1 John 1:7 said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Did you know people that's in the same church anymore, lots of them, can't have fellowship with each other? Well, fellowship is an important thing. We are in his fellowship. We need to fellowship with the Lord. But here Jeremiah said there's something wrong here. And he says, be astonished. Well, I am astonished. I'm astonished at everything that I'm seeing. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Needs to be a fear, godly fear. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. Now he's going to tell us what's wrong here in the next verse or two here. For my people, now he's talking to the church. See, there's places in the Bible he talks to the world, and there's places in the Bible he talks to the church, and every bit of it's for us. Every bit of this Bible's for us. It's all for me. It's all for you. However you use what you get, if you get something from God, if you use it right, you'll be blessed. If you use it wrong, you'll be cursed. And I don't want to be cursed, do you? And listen to what he said, for my people have committed two evils. Now, you're going to see the nation right now. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. They have faked. That's what God said. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Forsaken the God. You know, people would rather go to a ball game on Sunday than come to church. That's forsaking God. Somebody said, are you against ball players? No. No, that's how I play ball. But I want to tell you one thing, we need to be at church on Sunday morning. And we need to be at church on Sunday night. And we need to be at prayer every time we've got a chance to be praying. Men ought always to pray. Luke 18:1 said, and not faint. Jude 1:20 said, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication with prayer. Men ought always to pray. We ought to be praying. Our people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Now here's the next thing, the living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. Did you know the church today has fixed it like they want it? We'll just build us a cistern out here instead of having living water. We'll just have rock music instead of having old-time Holy Ghost music. We'll just do this and we'll do that and we'll do something else. They've hewn them out of cistern. They fixed it like they want it. And the church, that's not God's plan. We've got to hear from God. I'll tell you, I'd be afraid to stand in this pulpit unless I've heard from God. I'd be afraid to go to church if I hadn't heard from God. I'd be fearful if I was doing these things. They've hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They forsake Him, the fountain of living water. They've forsaken Him. You know, God has almost been thrown out of the church. Well, I don't know about you, but the places I go, we're going everywhere now. I thought when I got older, nobody wanted to hear me, but I guess they still do. They've got me booked everywhere. We're in Pennsylvania, and we're in Ohio, and we're in West Virginia, and we're all over Missouri, down in Arkansas, going to Mississippi next week, and getting calls to go everywhere. I believe that what it really is that people begin to wake up and come to a place where they want to hear the gospel instead of a story. You know, a story is all right, but it'll never get you the power of God and the waters flowing from you. It won't do it. Why, people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, that's God's people. The fountain of living waters, and what else did they do? They hewed them out cisterns. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, a cistern, I don't know about you, but I remember when everybody had a cistern, dearly. And you know a cistern will wear you out if it's going to break you. Because you're going to have to pour water in it all the time to keep it going. But a spring is different. It overflowed. A river is different. It overflowed. But a cistern, a broken cistern that holds no water, and that's what it is with the time. I know it's all what's each church. They have to have a new gimmick every week to keep the people interested. They don't care what anything about the word. They don't care about the preaching. They don't care about this. They might come to a singing or something like that, which is all right. But they don't care much about the preaching of the word, because you know why? Because there's water in that preaching. There's water. John 7:38 said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake ye of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost hath not yet been given." But the Holy Ghost has been given now, church, and the waters are supposed to be flowing from you, and it's supposed to be flowing from me. The waters has got to flow again and get rid of this cistern stuff. You know, fix it like you want it, pour what you want in it. I don't know what you folks don't, but I know the places they got a new fix on everything all the time. One preacher said he don't preach on sin anymore, and he said, "I just preach on love." Well, I thought that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works.
I want to talk a little bit about the wells in the book of Genesis. So what we do, we have to graduate from cisterns to wells, and from wells to rivers. See, God wants us all to have rivers. Turn to your Bible to John 7:38. Now what does that say?
Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified."
As the what? As the scripture has said, the true believers. Now I'm going to tell you something. There are still true believers around. I find them around. I feel some believing in here this morning. I don't feel it where there's no feeling, where there's deadness. And we don't want to be dead, we want to be godly, because God is a living, he's a living water.
Believeth on me, as the scripture has said.
And John 7:38 said, whosoever
believeth on me, as
the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus had not been yet glorified. He said that there's going to be believers, and these believers is going to have the rivers of living water flowing out from them that believe on him. The scripture, as the scripture has said. Well, I don't know how we're going to do that, but a lot of folks, because they got the wrong Bible and they don't read that way. Romans 8:1, where it said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, it doesn't read that way in most Bibles, but mine does. Have you got the right Bible? Good. I see you nodding your head. I'm going to keep mine. It's worked for 57 years, and I don't think it's going to fail me the rest of my life, because I'm going to stay with it. Because you know what it is? It's the truth. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's the way. He's the truth. When you take him out, you take away the rivers of living water. And no, lots of folks are thirsty today. They're hungry for a good drink from heaven. They're hungry for some water. I'm not preaching this exactly like I did it to, but it's working out. So, the waters of our soul, if we believe, as the scripture has said, and I want to go back to Genesis chapter 26. The Philistines would always stop the wells up. How many remember that in the Bible? You know, mud, they'd throw mud in there and sticks in there and get it all stopped up. And then Isaac's group had to come and clean out the well. And I've got a note here that says, sometimes we need to clean out the well. Now, these wells and rivers and all these things, they're our experience. Now, I'm going to place it like it. Yeah, these are our experience. If I'm flowing with rivers, then I've got a river experience, ain't I? If I've got a stopped up well, I can't get no water till I clean it out. That's a well experience. See, we just come from a cistern experience. I don't like that cistern experience at all. And I don't like to see a well stopped up, but I like to go down by the river where it's flowing free, clear and great. And that comes from belief. If belief. So it says, 26th chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 17, and Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after their names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Don't you know that was great? A well of springing water. But ain't rivers better than that, David? See, I'm going to walk you through. Some churches and some people's got a cistern experience. You know what a cistern is? If you dug it like you wanted it, you shaped it like you wanted, but it always had a break in it. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. So So here we find here that Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water, and the herdsmen of Gerar strolled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Essek, because they strolled with him. Now, every time Isaac would dig a well, they'd strive with him. That's our water. Then they go sit down and throw sticks and everything, and, you know, mud and everything, get it all messed up. And Isaac sticks there, and then he starts digging again, and they say, "That's our water." Don't you know that I was thinking about the other day that Isaac's wife probably got tired of moving up and down the valley, you know. Said, "Why?" And the Bible said that the Isaac's bunch was a very strong, very strong. They could easily annihilate them. "Well, we just whoop them and go on, hon." Oh, Isaac said, "No, we're going to go on, we're going to dig another one." They got the water, and it says in verse 19, "And Isaac's servants digging in the valley, and found there springing water, and the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, 'The waters is ours,' and called the name Well Essek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well, and they strove for that also, and he called the name of that Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name Rehoboam, not. And he said, 'For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful of the land.'" For he's not striving and fighting and all that junk, that he's kept digging wells. You know, somebody said, "I'm tired of digging wells." Well, dig another. You might find happiness there. You might find something that's, you know, the devil wants us to get out of anything that we've got and him take over. The devil wants to take over your experience. "And the Lord appeared unto him that same night and said, 'I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed, my servant Abraham's, for his sake.'" Now, I want to talk to you about the two sons of Abraham. There was Isaac and Ishmael. How many knows that? Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac was the son. It had to be by faith, because Sarah was past childbearing when Isaac was born. Isaac was a Christ type. He was a type of Christ, Isaac was. Isaac digged wells. He was productive. But he had a half-brother. How many knows who that was? Ishmael. How many knows who they are? Today, the ISIS and all that crap that's killing people over there. That will tell you, see, they still got that. That spirit has followed them down through generations, thousands of years of generation. They still got that killing spirit. But see, Abraham put it to the test by faith. And God spoke to Abraham and tried him out and said, "I want you to take Isaac over on Mount Moriah and there offer him a sacrifice." Abraham didn't argue with God. He got up, took the old donkey, loaded it up with kindling, wood, and whatever that he needed, and headed for Mount Moriah. When he got over there, he had Isaac tied down. He was ready to put the knife into his heart, and God said no, and stopped that, because Abraham had passed the test of faith. He believed that if he done that God would raise Isaac up again. He believed, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes." We must, church, again, get out the waters of our faith, our believing back again that we once had. There was a time when people hardly ever went to a doctor. They prayed and the people got well. They prayed and got healed. But you see, now we're into this, these here different types of things where people don't know what to think. But I'll tell you one thing, our mind needs to be the mind of Christ. Philippians 2 and 5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So if I've got the mind of Christ, I'm going to have a mind that's believing and receiving the waters of God into my soul. So, we find here that Ishmael will be a what? What kind of man does the Bible say he'd be? A wild man. Do you think that we've got some wild people out there? They're Ishmaelites. Do you think that ISIS is wild? They killed 21 Christians, put their heads off. They took some more Egyptians and killed them. And they took a whole Christian congregation, and if they didn't change their way of believing over to Muslim, then they take their life. You're either converted or you die. I don't see no waters of life in that. I see death in that. Now that brings me to the death penalty that Satan's got. He's got a death penalty. He's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. But guess who? What he's identified? John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Can you identify the devil now? He come to steal. He come to kill. He come to destroy. He didn't come to bring us water. He didn't come to bring us a blessing. He didn't come to bring us God's word. He came as a thief in the night. He is a thief. He is a robber. He wants to steal your experience with God. He wants to steal your children's experience. He wants to kill your kids. He wants to kill my children. He wants to kill my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. He wants to pass that death sentence all down. But I tell you what, God's people need to rise up and get the waters of life going through their hearts and their lives once again and have life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. Now here's one thing that gets into this thing. There's a thing that gets in it is people don't recognize the enemy. But that's a perfect identity. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. To kill and destroy. But Jesus said, here's my identity. I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Well, I don't think of anything more that brings life into the picture than rivers of life. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, our faith, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, what's he talking about? This spake he of the Spirit. The Spirit. Now, God speaks by the Spirit. John, in the Revelations chapter 2, there were 7 churches. And John surveyed those churches. He was there to deliver a message to the churches, John was. That's why he was on the Olivet Patmos. Peter had his job in one place, and John had his job on the Olivet Patmos. And they had all these 7 churches. All 7 churches had a problem, but all their problems was a different problem. The church of Ephesus had a different problem than the church of Laodicea. Laodicea said, we're rich. We don't have no need of anything. We got it made. We're rich. You ever hear that today? It's all about money. My Lord, I'd give all the money I've got, you know, and everything else if I could see once again a great revival that God wants us to have again. A great revival. So, the identity of Christ is life. In John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. Because I'm the way. And I'm the way, I'm the truth. And I'm the life. No man can get there. Life. He is in contact with the Father. He is between us and the Father. And he takes the message. We pray to the Father through him. And he answers our prayer. He said, if you pray, I'll answer your prayer. You'll have faith. You build up your faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude 1:20. You building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said again, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Rivers, absolute rivers of living water. You don't see them. I've got a book out now on the unseen. Did you know there's more power in the unseen here than there are in what we see?
That's right.
Just think if we could just see every spirit, everything that is right here, right now. He that cometh to God must believe that he what? Is, and that he is a rewarder of them that loveth. He must believe that he is. Well, what is it? You can't get anything out of is, but it's is. If Jesus is here, he's here. If this angels is here, they're here. You can't see the words coming out of my mouth. How do you know I'm saying anything? Because you can hear. You know what to hear? That back to John there. John said he heard those people there, seven churches, all of them had a different problem, but one answer. John said, here's what all the churches should do. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. That's what the Spirit has to say to the churches, what the Spirit has to say to your home, and what the Spirit has to say to each other. What the Spirit has to say, that's the answer to your problem. It's not by my Zechariah 4:6. It's not by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The Spirit. We need, once again, the Spirit. It represents the waters of life. The Spirit. The Spirit. What does the Spirit say? What do we need? We talk to the Spirit. He ain't the language of God, the Spirit does. And we have the ability to take that message to you. You know, you have the right to say whether you think I'm right here this morning or not. But that doesn't make any difference whether it's right or wrong with me. Because I know what I heard from God. I know what I've seen from God. I've seen thousands and thousands of people through the years, 57 years, give their hearts to God. And I've seen them in a service. I remember one night in Winona, in an old theater building we had rented. It was packed out. Nobody was expecting anything. Boom, all of a sudden somebody gave a message in tongues. Another person interpreted. And you know what happened? Several people got up in there and came and got saved. That's been 50 years ago. One of the great things I like to do is when I go to Winona to the school, you know, I graduated from high school there in 1944. When I go over there and it's a big crowd of people and I can look through the crowd and I say, I remember that and got saved that night. And I remember him getting saved that night. And I remember this whole family got saved, didn't I? See, truth develops itself before our eyes, but truth can't be seen until we find the manifestation. See, that we have the manifestation of the Spirit, then we're doing what the Spirit said. See, I'm not up here just tooting my trumpet. I'm here to bless you if I can. Not with me, not with my flesh. But with what God says. I'm a messenger. That's all I am, is a messenger. I don't want to be anything else. Somebody said, don't you want to be somebody real important like these preachers that's got thousands of people? No. God called me to preach to the small churches. Bring them a message. To help them. To be a missionary to you. This is a message that the missions needs over there, but we need it here. I appreciate your attentiveness here this morning because you've been attentive to the Word of God. And it's not my word, that's His word. I'm just a messenger. I'm just here to deliver. And we need to be a messenger. Now, you can take a message out from here even the Sunday school literature or whatever that you use, Bible, it's got the right kind of a Bible, and you take the message out, God will see to it that that word will not return void. It will not return void. It will save somebody. It will heal somebody. I've been in services where one got healed and this got saved and that got delivered and this and that, and it was all happening at the same time, and it looked like a powerful confusion, but it wasn't a confusion. It was God performing on each one. They get what they need. They got their healing. This one got their deliverance. This one got a message from God. And maybe all of a sudden somebody take off shouting and running. Rejoice. Amen. The Lord is with us. He's still with us. You know, people that's moaning and groaning and complaining and all that, all they've got to do is just crank up. I've tried it. I've even tried moaning and groaning and complaining. But that don't help a bit. But I've also tried meditation, and my wife will tell you, I'm a person that meditates. And we're supposed to meditate day and night. Psalms 1:1 said, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and the law of the Lord doth he meditate. He meditates day and night. What is that person going to be? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatever he does will prosper. The devil can't help it if we just follow the prescriptions that's in this book right here. This book right here has got everything man needs if we just do what it says. If we walk with God. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another. That's part of evangelistic work, to bring fellowship back to God's people. To take anger out. You know, the world is angry. They don't know what they're angry about, but they're just angry. When people walk into a theater and just mow people down, they're angry, but they don't know what they're angry about. I don't know, I just done it. Kills people. That's a thief. You know what it is? It's the identity of the devil. The thief and the people and the law enforcement, they don't know what it is. They say, well, he was a little bit deranged. Well, he sure was deranged. When he shoots a whole bunch of people, killed him. But who deranged him? The devil. You can always trace it back and pin it on him. But when life comes in and joy comes in, the kingdom of God message is righteousness, peace, and joy. Matthew 6:33 said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. John 14:6-17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'll tell you what, righteousness, peace, and joy is mighty good, good right now. Well, this book is full. It's got I can't absorb it all. I just wish I knew every bit of it. Everybody, you know, everybody needs to get hungry. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be what? Filled. That's promise. That's promise. I knew no one thing. I've got his righteousness, not mine, and I've got his peace, and I've got his joy, and that's good enough for me. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's life. It's a way of living. People don't know how to live. Before I got saved, I didn't know how to live. I thought I was having a good time. Out there in taverns, fighting around, black eyes, hurting one another. You think that's fun? No. But when I found you, when I found him, it totally changed this man. Never have been the same.